Hello, we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, and I'm the host of this program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ in Clarksville, Tennessee. And we hope to bring you many more programs like this on Saturday morning. And I hope that you'll go get your Bible and join along with us in this Bible study. If you're at home or somewhere where you can open up your Bible and follow along, we'd be glad for you to do that. But if you're in the car and can't do that, we hope that you'll listen and have an opportunity to listen and learn from God's Word. We want to talk this morning about listening to God and His Word. We are calling this program the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to let the Bible speak in our lives. We want God to speak in our lives. I believe everybody wants a message from God. Do you? We want to hear from God, and many people want a message from God for their lives, and God indeed has spoken to them. But God speaks to us today through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Son speaks to us in the words of the New Testament. And so this morning, we want to talk a little bit about letting the Bible speak in our lives. Many will not let the Bible speak. They will not let the simple words of God's Word speak to them. There are things that they allow to get in the way. So letting the Bible speak to us is critical. It's extremely important. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter was preaching in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, he said, "Moses indeed said, 'A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, likened unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you.'" And Peter was talking about Jesus. We have to listen to what Jesus is saying. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, lets us know that God speaks to us today through His Son Jesus. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, "God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets, by divers portions and in divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." And so God speaks to us through Jesus, His Son, and He speaks to us through the apostles that Jesus sent out. There are a number of passages of Scripture where the Apostle Paul, for example, lets us know that God was speaking through himself and the other apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul writes, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory." And then later in the same chapter, Paul says, "We have the mind of Christ." Other passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, or Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, God speaks through the apostles. And those words of the apostles have been written down in the New Testament Scriptures. The words of Jesus have been written down in the New Testament Scriptures. And so when we open our Bible, we are letting God speak to us. This morning we want to talk about letting the Bible speak. To kick off this radio program that we hope to bring to you each Saturday morning, to set the stage for what the Let the Bible Speak program is about, we want to talk about letting the Bible speak. You know, friends, a lot of times people let things get in the way and they will not allow the Bible to speak to them. We're going to talk about some of those things this morning. Sometimes people let human traditions get in the way. They let so-called latter-day revelations get in the way. They let Scripture twisting get in the way, where they will twist a Scripture and distort it. They're reading it from the Bible, but by the time they end up twisting it and distorting it, God is not actually speaking to them anymore. Sometimes people let modernism get in the way, a philosophical approach to the Bible that's really over 100 years old, where people do not believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God. Sometimes just simply letting ourselves get in the way. We are blocking God's message. And then last of all, sometimes people try to silence or get rid of the Bible. So let's look at those things this morning, and I hope that you will profit from our Bible study. First of all, let's take the matter of human traditions, especially human religious traditions. Sometimes there are many church denominations and religions out there that are more focused on their religious human tradition than what the Bible actually says. We cannot let the Bible speak when we are listening more to human traditions. And we actually have this situation in the New Testament. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, Jesus ran into this situation in the New Testament where the religious Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees had their traditions and they were setting aside or making void the Word of God because of their tradition. A human tradition, whether it is oral, spoken, or written down in what's called a creed, these things are from men. They're not from God. They're not from the Bible. If a creed is from man, it's going to be something more than the Bible. It's going to be something less than the Bible. But if they claim to be exactly the same as the Bible, then why do we need it if we have the Bible? So human traditions and creeds are often containing more than what God's Word says, or containing less than what God's Word says. And if it contains exactly what God's Word says, then why do we need it? In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus ran into this situation where he was speaking to some Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1, Pharisees and scribes. And he said, they asked Jesus, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? And he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? They had human traditions that set aside the Word of God and would not allow them, for example, to take care of their parents. One of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. They set up a tradition which excused them from doing that. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 5 and 6, he rebukes them for that. And in verse 6, Jesus said, you have made void the Word of God because of your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. And so their tradition stands in the way. Paul warned about human philosophy in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. These kinds of things, the teachings of man that can lead people away from the Word of God. And so rather than just simply listening to God speak in the Bible, people are listening to human tradition and philosophy. Colossians 2:8, take heed lest there shall be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Friends, let God speak to you in the Bible, and don't let any religious tradition get in the way. Sometimes a preacher or a pastor or a reverend or someone will talk about the particular church tradition that they're following, and the people cannot even hear the Word of God anymore. They're just simply hearing that tradition. Don't let that stand in the way. Another thing that's similar to that is what some religions claim with regard to latter-day revelations. There are different religions like our Mormon friends and others who claim that God is still speaking through latter-day revelations. But the problem is we cannot let the Bible speak when we are listening to these so-called latter-day revelations. And often the latter-day revelations are contradicting what the Bible says. Latter-day revelations such as the Quran, that was a latter-day revelation claimed by Muhammad in the 600s A.D., or the Book of Mormon claimed by Joseph Smith in the 1800s. These so-called latter-day revelations are from man. They're not from God, and they're preaching a different gospel. They're preaching a different good news. And we need to stay away from those things. The Apostle Paul had to deal with this all the way back in his day in the first century. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Even the Jews of his day were coming along preaching a different gospel. They were adding to it. They were changing the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes in Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that you were so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel. In other words, not another of the same kind, which is not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema or accursed. As we have said before, so we say again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema or accursed. That's a very strong language. Paul was saying, he set the stage for what the true gospel is. He said, that which we preached to you, we the apostles, the New Testament apostles, not hundreds of years later with Muhammad or in the 1800s with Joseph Smith, but in the first century when Paul and other apostles were preaching, if this is something other than what we preached and other than what you received in the first century, let him be anathema or accursed. And so people were trying to draw them away unto a different gospel, a different kind. It's not the same kind as the New Testament gospel. And there are a lot of religions who continue to do that today, but we can never let God truly speak to us on the pages of the Bible if we're listening to latter-day revelations. A third area in which a person may not allow God's word to truly speak to them is by opening up the Bible, but twisting those things that are plainly said there. We cannot let the Bible speak when we let human traditions get in the way and latter-day revelations get in the way, and we cannot let the Bible speak to us when we twist the scriptures and make them say what we want them to say. When we open up our Bibles, God's word is clear. We can understand it. Paul writes in Ephesians 3 and verse 4 that when we read, we can understand what he understood. We can understand his writing. We can understand the gospel that he was teaching. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so we can understand God's word, the plain and simple message of God's word. But sometimes people will come along and twist that. Bible teachers and Bible preachers will twist plain Bible passages. When we speak, Peter says that we are to speak as of the oracles of God. We just simply need to say what the Bible says. Speak as the Bible speaks. But sometimes people are not content to do that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter talks about those wherein some things are hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast twist or wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Sometimes scripture twisting is done by preachers and Bible scholars and different individuals like that. And this does not allow for God to speak to us on the pages of his word. It allows man to speak, but not God. For example, in James chapter 2, we're told that we are not justified by faith alone. And yet, there are religious teachers out there that twist that and say that we are justified by faith alone. Whereas James says we are not justified by faith alone. There are passages that plainly tell us, for example, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And people will twist that today and say that you need to repent, but you don't have to be baptized in order to have remission of sins. Just plain and simple Bible passages, those are twisted and distorted to mean something else. Another simple one is Mark chapter 16 with regard to Jesus giving the Great Commission. He said in verse 15 to go preach the gospel to all creation. And then listen very carefully what he said. Very simple. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. But people come along and twist that and say, he that believeth shall be saved and then later can be baptized. That's not what Jesus said. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, we can understand the simple and plain scripture. Another example is in Galatians chapter 5. There are people who teach that once you're saved, you're always saved. And they twist plain Bible passages in order to teach that. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul writes, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you are fallen away from grace. So, plain Bible passage that says you can fall away from grace, people will come along and twist that and say, no, you can't fall from grace. Well, we can't let God speak to us if we're simply going to twist Scripture. Another way in which people refuse to let God's Word speak to them is what I might call modernism. It's actually old. In the day, it was modern, it was new. But in the mid to late 1800s and the early 1900s, there were various religious scholars who were claiming that the Bible was not the actual Word of God, the inspired, infallible Word of God. They were saying that the Bible was written by men, uninspired by God, and so it's full of fables and fiction and stories that cannot be trusted. The Bible, they said, is not miraculous. There were no miracles in the days of Jesus and in Bible times. And so if we hold to this approach, and it's still being held on today, we cannot let the Bible speak when we consider the Bible to be fallible, to have errors, and simply be the word of man. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that the Bible is actually the inspired word of God. And so we have to decide, do we listen to the Apostle Paul or do we listen to the modern day scholars? But in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, if you'll turn with me there, every scripture, not some, not most, but every or all scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. The word inspired there means literally God breathed. And so God breathed out his word to the apostles and prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New Testament, and we find that they are speaking the very words of God. Peter confirms this, if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We find that man did not simply speak his own words and write down his own words, but the apostles and prophets were guided by the Holy Spirit. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. It didn't come from one's own thinking or feeling. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Modernism, or modern-day liberalism, does not accept what the Bible says as true. And this is taught in various institutions of higher learning, in some seminaries, in some schools of religion. The Bible is just a product of man. It can't be trusted as historically accurate and true. And so individuals do not accept the inspiration of Scripture. They do not accept that the Bible contains miracles. And so they say the Bible is just simply a combination of some facts and fiction. But when we approach this When we approach the Bible this way, it robs the Bible of its power. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, you do err not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And so we have this problem, and that is that many simply approach the Bible as a human book of fables and fictions, and the Bible will never speak to them the way God wants it spoken because they simply will not accept it as God's word. We need to let the Bible speak in our lives. Do you know the Bible is the most printed and published and purchased book even today in all of the world? And yet, God cannot speak to you unless you open it up. Biblical illiteracy is high in this nation. There are a large amount of people that own Bibles and will not open them up. There are a large amount of people who have Bibles available to them, but they will not take the time to read them. Very high percentage of our young people are not learning God's Word, that where God could speak to them and guide them throughout each day. They simply won't do it. We have the Bible more available to us now than ever before. We've got it on our phones and our iPads and other places, but we've got to read it. We've got to open it up. We've got to hear it. We've got to let God speak to us on the pages of His Scripture. So we can let things get in the way. Another thing that we can let get in the way is just simply ourselves. We cannot let the Bible speak when we are listening to ourselves and what we want to hear, what we think and what we feel. We need to let Jesus and His apostles speak to us on the pages of the New Testament Scriptures. Many are talking when they need to be listening. I'm reminded of Peter, who was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was talking, and he had to be told by God to be quiet and listen. And while he was still speaking, a great voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." We need to stop talking and start listening more. Listening to what Jesus has to tell us in His Word. Others will close their ears. They won't listen. Jesus was speaking to some in His day in Matthew chapter 13. And He said in verse 15, when He was talking about the parable of the sower, "For this people's heart is grown thick," or waxed gross, thick, hard. "Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. Blessed are your ears, for they hear, and your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Excuse me. We've got to keep our ears open. We can't harden our hearts. Do you remember when, may recall when Stephen was preaching in the city of Jerusalem in Acts 7 and verse 58, and the Jews that heard him there, they didn't want to hear the truth, and so they stopped their ears and they rushed upon him and they stoned him. Still others listen to what makes them happy. Sometimes people will go to churches and preachers that preach it a certain way, a way that they want to hear it, rather than just hearing it straight out of the Bible. At the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, when I stand up and preach, I give a message out of God's Word. I don't want to twist that. There's not going to be any Latter-day revelations. We're not going to preach human traditions. We're not going to preach modernism by any means. And we're not going to just simply soft soap the message or change the message in some kind of way. There are people out there, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there in your Bible, he writes in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. And so there are false messages out there. And so we cannot let the Bible speak when we're turning our ears away from the truth and just turning to people who will tell us what we want to hear. Look at verse 3 again. "Having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts and will turn their ears away from the truth." They'll go to people who will tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Others follow their own conscience or their personal experiences or their feelings. I've had people tell me that I wouldn't trade what I feel for a whole stack of Bibles. Well, it's the Bible, friend, God's Word that is speaking to us. And God wants to speak to us, not our feelings, not what we think and what we feel. When Naaman the leper in 2 Kings 5:11 was told what he was to do to get rid of that leprosy, he said, "Behold, I thought, And he wanted to go do something else, but he had to dip seven times in the Jordan if that leprosy was going to be taken away. And when he did that, it was taken away. But at first he said, behold, I thought something else. No, he was told to dip in the Jordan. That's what he needed to do. The proverb writer in Proverbs 14, verse 12 says that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way, the end of that way is death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. And so we think and we feel, but that's not the right way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And so we can't just simply follow our own personal feelings or the personal testimonies of our friends and neighbors, but what does God's word say? And finally, we cannot let the Bible speak when we attempt to silence the message. Many will refuse to hear the message. Like King Jehoiakim in Jeremiah 36 and verse 23, when the word of God was read to him, he cut it up and threw it into the fire. He didn't want to listen to that. And yet Jeremiah was told to give him the word again. And so it doesn't matter. God's word will always be around. And so you can cut it up, you can get rid of it, you can try to burn it, you can keep it closed, but God's word will always be there. I mentioned earlier Stephen, when he was preaching, they stoned him to death. Many try to silence the word of God, but Peter tells us that the word of God abides forever. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23 and 24 and 25, God's word abides forever. It will always be around. And so we can't try to silence the message. It will always be there. Many, if not most people in America, own and often carry a Bible, but they do not let the Bible speak. The Bible is often silenced. It's vetoed. It's set aside by these things that we talked about this morning. Human traditions, latter-day revelations, scripture twisting, modernism, sometimes our own selves, and sometimes we try to silence or get rid of the Word of God. A good test, friend, is when the Bible is read, do we say yes or do we say yes, but? And then we try to get rid of what it says. Are we content to simply let the Bible speak? That's our admonition and encouragement this morning. We invite you to come to one of the services of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible class and 10:30 for worship. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If I can come and have a personal Bible study with you, I would love to do that. Call us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Set up a time for me to come. I'd love to come into your home and have a personal home Bible study. Or visit us on the web at wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. We would love to have you come to one of the services where we speak the truth in love. A open mind and an open Bible. Friendly members, you'll be greeted. With friendly members, you would be our honored guest. And we're so glad that you joined us for this edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. And stay tuned next week for another edition. Thank you and have a good day.